Hello and welcome to Home to Her, the podcast that's dedicated to reclaiming the lost and stolen wisdom of the sacred feminine. I'm your host, Liz Kelly, and on each episode, we explore her stories and myths, her spiritual principles, and most importantly, what this wisdom has to offer us right now. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Everybody, it's Liz here joining you as usual from Central Virginia and the ancestral lands of the Monica Nation. And I realize that in all my time making this land acknowledgement, I don't know that I've ever stated clearly that the Monica Nation is still here. It is a federally recognized tribe with headquarters not too far from me in Virginia. And I mention that because if you're living in a country with a legacy of colonialism, it's a really good thing to know whose lands you're living on. You can find that out at native-land.ca, which I always put in the show notes. But why stop there? Can you find out if those Indigenous people are still in your area, or were they forcibly relocated somewhere else? How might you learn more about them, and how might you be able to offer your support? Maybe there are causes that are important to them or scholarships that they offer that you could contribute to. Maybe there's historical information that they have written themselves that you can read and learn about, or maybe there are authors or poets or musicians whose creative work you can experience or you could tell others about. These are just a few ideas of, I think, how we can go about learning about the places where we currently reside and the people connected to the land. And especially if you're here in the United States with me, get a fuller picture of the complex history of where we live. So consider that. Food for thought. Check the show notes to find out whose land you're on. And if you are new to this idea of the sacred feminine or not, and are interested in learning more about her and you like to read, you can check out my book, Home to Her, Walking the Transformative Path of the Sacred Feminine from Womancraft Publishing. I am super excited that it has received a 2023 Nautilus Gold Award. These are given to books that promote spiritual growth, conscious living, and sustainability. So that's kind of a big deal for me. If you're interested and you want to check it out, I recommend that you buy it from Womancraft Publishing directly. It's an amazing small woman-owned business, or from your local bookstore. And if you've read it and you liked it, your favorable reviews on Amazon and Goodreads are super helpful and, you know, just directing other people to this information too. And the same goes for this podcast. If you like what you're hearing here, I would love to have your favorable reviews. Those on Apple Podcasts are super helpful, but anywhere is good. And I like to hear your feedback. So I love hearing from you. Reach out to me. Reaching out via social, via Instagram in particular, direct messages, a really great way to get in touch, or you can always comment on posts. Or you can send me an email, liz@hometoher.com, and I'll put all that in the show notes as well. All right, on with the show. I am super excited about my guest today. This has been many months in the making, and I was looking back at all the episodes that I've recorded over the last 4 years just to be sure of this. But in all my time hosting the show, I have never really dedicated an episode to the wisdom and the teachings of the menstrual cycle, which is kind of a little shocking. Now, I have certainly talked about this with a lot of guests, but we've never focused an episode on this exclusively. And we may or may not today, because my guest body of work is really expansive. So it covers not just the menstrual cycle, but also the wisdom and teachings of menopause. And I think we're probably going to talk about both, but we'll see where we go and what kind of ground that we're able to cover. So let me go ahead and introduce them to you now. Alexandra Pope and Shawnee Hugo Wurlitzer are the co-founders of the Red School, which is dedicated to restoring the power of the menstrual cycle and menopause. Via Red School, Alexandra and Shawnee are pioneering the emerging field of menstruality with a vision that menstrual cycle awareness and conscious menopause are prioritized in every boardroom, classroom, and dinner table discussion on the planet. Alexandra and Shawnee are also the co-authors of two life-changing books, Wild Power, Discover the Magic of Your Menstrual Cycle and Awaken the Feminine Path to Power, and Wise Power, Discover the Liberating Power of Menopause to Awaken Authority, Purpose, and Belonging, both published by Hay House. Alexandra and Shawnee have collectively spent over 45 years developing their radical new approach to health, creativity, leadership, and spiritual life based on the power of the menstrual cycle and menopause. They speak and teach worldwide on the psycho-spiritual process of maturation that unfolds from menarche to menopause, and their mission is to activate the vitality, creativity, and leadership of a million people through the magic of menstrual cycle awareness and conscious menopause. May that powerful vision be so. They are, yes, absolutely. They're joining us today from their individual homes in the United Kingdom. Alexandra, Shawnee, it is such an honor to have you here.
It's wonderful to be here. I'm feeling very, already I'm feeling very drawn into something. The whole introduction that you have just done.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. It feels very, very exciting to be embarking on this conversation, especially with your great ambition to talk about the cycle and menopause.
I know. As soon as I was putting the notes together, I'm like, there's no way. Like, there's just so much ground to cover. But we'll just, you know what? We're going to let it happen. We'll see what unfolds, and we will trust in the process, which... If I've learned anything from your writing, that's a big part of it too, right? So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to start with my guest, usually just hearing a little bit from each of you on your spiritual background. As you know, this is a show that is dedicated to the sacred feminine. And so the reason that I ask that is I'm always curious about what you got in your early years. Was it helpful? Was it not helpful? Perhaps what's a pull-through thread that is relevant to you now. So that's all right with you. I'd love to start there. And it's either one of you have a burning desire to go first. I could call on you like in school, you know.
I think Alexandra wants to go first.
this is what we do, Liz. When we don't want to go first, we go, Shani, you go first. I can see you. Okay. Actually, when you... asked that question, I actually felt this sort of twinge in my being, like, gosh. And then I thought, what is the answer? And then, of course, it all unfolded inside me. My parents were not religious or spiritual. I came from, you know, pretty straight middle class background, English. Shutdown feelings. What happened was, just before my very first bleed, I had this incredible awakening experience. And it is actually sort of connected with menarche. You know, menarche is this opening moment. I was at boarding school and it was a Sunday evening service. I was at the back of the hall. The speaker was the Archdeacon of Westminster. We always got big names. He was a New Zealander. It's interesting, the detail you remember. And I don't know what he said, but I remember walking out of that hall on air, just filled with love. And I remember going into the dining hall. I'm all of 12, 13 years old. I go into the dining hall and Sunday supper is, it's evil. It was just awful. I mean, the food was always bad, but Sunday was plummeted new depths of low. And I remember eating that meal and feeling like I was eating manna from heaven. I was so high. And I was high for about 36 hours. It stayed with me and then it wore away. I told nobody. I just was high in this love bubble. And I actually had no way of contextualizing it. I just went about my normal business as though that was something normal at boarding school. And but I feel I had been worked. And this is why I feel almost teary when you ask the question, because spiritual life has been accompanying me all my life, and I talk about it as grace, Liz. So I've always had, you know, my life has had real challenges in it, you know, like all of us, we all have stuff. But I always had this sense that there was meaning at work, and that's what I call grace. And now, at the ripe old age that I am, I look back and I can really see how I was held, I was an innocent held in something. And I found myself led to things, to doing, so I've had spiritual practices. I practiced Japanese movement art called Shintaido for many years and was a sensei in that. And that actually helped to channel something. And I had many strong experiences in that. But then it was when I started, so I always had a sense of the sacred, the spiritual, and being held in something. What I would call it the ineffable, as I said. But and then the whole menstrual work kicked off in my early 30s, and it began with outrageous menstrual pain. And I started taking time for myself. It's a long story and I won't go into that one, but it was in taking space at menstruation. It was like the doors of perception flung open. So even as I was having pain, there was this, I discovered the awakening that happens at menstruation each month. And as my pain eased over the years, this power at menstruation became more and more extraordinary. It is like an awakening that's available to everyone who menstruates if they are supported and if they have a degree of safety. This is so crucial, so they can deeply drop. I had to do it because I was not taking drugs every month and I had to organize my whole working life around it so I could just drop and travel with the pain. But boy, this is the pain itself was an awakening. It led me to this work. So I now, and then having gone through menopause, and that again is another, that's the awakening of awakenings, only except it's a shit storm you go through. Well, we'll call it betrayal. Now, today, it's everything to me. It's the air I breathe. And it's not, I don't have a spiritual practice as such. I am practiced by something. And that requires a certain inner discipline within me.
It's very moving listening to you, Alexandra, and particularly I'm loving how your story illuminates so much of what is behind our work, which is this deep knowing and understanding that menstruality, the menstrual cycle, and the kind of stages along that path of development are a spiritual, it's a spiritual path, and it's a spiritual practice in and of itself. And I love how your story pointed to that with, that awakening at around your first bleed, and then the depth of connection and meaning that you felt at menstruation, and how pain led you to that, and then this kind of further gestalt that happened through menopause, where now you said it's the air I breathe. It's like you're living in the reality of this communion with life, and this place of service to something other. I've never heard you describe, as I know you quite well. I've never heard you describe it in quite that way. My story is different but parallel. And hearing what you've said has kind of got me reflecting on it, because I grew up in a Christian, well, my household wasn't Christian. My mother was a very dedicated Christian. And so I got taken to Sunday school every Sunday. And that was always fun, when I was little. But there came a point, and it was around puberty for me. It was really around the whole kind of transition from the innocence of my childhood into an awareness of the world, I could say, of something other. The way that bubble is popped when you enter puberty, which is quite brutal. A lot of us fall into the exposure of that and the reaction of that. And it's very easy to feel overwhelmed by that kind of porous opening that happens. But what I remember for myself at that time was something in my system went ka-chunk. It's like I landed in myself a little bit more around that age. And particularly, I remember feeling this deep longing for depth. Like I wanted to feel, I wanted to kind of look behind the veil. It wasn't enough for me, you know, what one saw on the surface. Like I really wanted to know through my being more of what life is. I remember that hunger, that appetite so much. And I found it in the church because that was where I was placed. And in fact, it was in the youth group. And what I loved about that was particularly the singing and dancing that happened, the praise and worship, because my body has always been my means to spiritual life. My body has always been my barometer and my way of feeling life and feeling meaning. And so it was through the singing and dancing that I felt the ecstasy, and I felt myself like opening to this force of love and this what in church is called the Holy Spirit moving through me. And I felt myself taken over by something, and I loved that surrender. I loved that sense of just giving myself over. And in my adult life, I've been very committed to movement medicine, which is a way of really connecting with my body to meet that kind of surrender and opening. And for me, the practice of menstrual cycle awareness is still the centerpiece to my spiritual life. It's still the bigger holding that even when I'm not going off and doing my meditation or doing my movement or whatever, the cycle is doing me, and I'm getting this ongoing kind of call back to myself. And I'm very grateful for that, because I try to step out of line often, but I'm constantly brought back in check by my cycle, the premenstrual in particular. Yeah, so thank you for that question. That was really juicy to answer.
Well, and I just love that you both, and so this will kind of be a nice segue, I think, to my next question, but I love that you both rooted the spirituality in the body, or that's where that understanding has led you into the body. And so I'm curious then, so I also like to ask guests, just sometimes I phrase it a little differently depending on where we're coming from, but who or what might the sacred feminine be to you? And if that language doesn't mean anything to you, that's totally fine. Use different language perhaps. But so anyways, I was thinking, because for me, the sacred feminine is part of me. That's in some ways why I wrote my book, to answer that question of what that means to me. But the embodied piece of it has always been a very big part of it. So I'm curious for you, does that language mean anything to you, and how do you relate to it, and also relate it to the work that you do now?
Wow. For me, there's a sort of exquisiteness about the sacred feminine. It's an exquisite intimacy. So when you speak of embodied, embodiment, that's part of that. It's a deep intimacy with life. So I can't say what the sacred feminine is, but I know when she is around. I know when she's missing, and what it requires of me to have this exquisite sort of intimacy, it's a real delicacy to it, requires this incredible daring to be undefended, and then in that, and of course that feeling that, then I have to feel everything, you know, the light and dark and my own egoic forces that are, and like to defend and fight their corner. yeah, there's it. It's one of the boldest, bravest moves. This is my spiritual practice. It's the work of encountering life from this undefended place. And I regularly fail at my spiritual practice. I'm not terribly good at it sometimes. but when I'm, it's grace. It's that word grace. There is this feeling of grace. And there is a feeling of warmth. I always like to use that word warmth. And a quality of love. I am inside something. So for me, it's not a goddess figure or something out there. It is an atmosphere that I inhabit. And it demands far more of me than any other spiritual practice I've ever encountered to serve that energy. Yeah, it really. Whew.
And in many ways, the menstrual cycle, well, not many ways, in all ways, the menstrual cycle is the training ground or the path for this intimacy that you're describing, Alexandra, and this way of being in the world, which is undefended. And that's a big claim. And I'm imagining there's the people listening are like, what? The menstrual cycle? You know, so I want to get a little bit real about that for a moment.
Well, yes. And I mean, take that as far as you want to, you know, go deeper if that would, you know, if you'd like.
Yeah, I would like to just kind of speak to a little bit of you know, one of the, what's at work with the menstrual cycle, because it is, of course, this cyclical rhythm that's happening in our body that is non-negotiable. All right. So that means that we are really in relationship with it. We can't control it. We can only but be responsive to and in relationship with it. And that's so much of what its power is. And the fact that it's a cycle means we're moved through a whole spectrum of experience. We don't get to sort of just inhabit one way of being or one aspect of creativity or one season of life or one you know, or just our strengths. We get moved through all of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the ins, the outs. The cycle moves us through all of it. So part of what Alexandra was really pointing to is learning to find more and more presence in the spectrum of life's experience, in the spectrum of feeling, and in the spectrum of who we are as well, because we certainly are not one-dimensional, we're complex. So the cycle, in the four phases of the cycle, we're getting moved through these different places. So that's a bloody good workout, let me tell you, because to our egos, we'd rather just stay in the sweet spot. You know, we'd rather just be our happy self, our nice self, our, you know, socially acceptable selves. We'd much rather be high energy and productive or whatever the things are that we are culturally celebrated for, or the things about ourselves that we accept. And the cycle is not having that, really. The cycle is taking us all places, always. So this is a spiritual practice. Yeah. I'm curious, Alexandra, do you want to add anything there?
I will, Shani. It's wonderful what you're saying here. It's like a it is a psychological journey that you go on through the different states of the cycle. You know, from menstruation up to ovulation. You know, there's this wonderful expansion. It's like it's we call it the inner spring and the inner summer. You know, the pre-ovulatory and ovulatory phases. And of course, right now in the northern hemisphere, we're in spring, just cusping into summer. And oh God, it is so good. I just love that energy of summer, you know, and the warmth and the light and the long, yeah, it's glorious. And there's that the return of the light within our being. There's this rising energy, so there's literal chi, you know, moving through us. And it's like this affirmation of our being. So we call this phase, you know, the ego building phase, because you've got to have an ego before you can lose it, to go beyond it rather, not lose it. You never lose it. So the first half of the cycle is has a very kind of affirming energy to it, and our energy is going outwards. So we're very available to other people, which is, of course, we get a lot of street cred for that, you know, as women particularly. And then the second half of the cycle, you know, where we come into the premenstrual and then the menstrual phase, well, we all know what happens to us then. Suddenly, we don't seem to have quite as much energy. Suddenly, we're much more aware of our feelings. And the second half is pulling us into ourselves, and it's sort of deconstructing something. So, in the first half, we were built up, and in the summer of our cycle, the ovulatory phase, we could live forever and do everything, and you know, superwoman reigns supreme. And then suddenly, we come off that high. And this is the psychological workout, because there are extraordinary powers available to us, but we've got in the premenstrual or autumn phase of the cycle. And it's where we get to know ourselves more deeply. We discover more of our needs and our boundaries. And so there's a, I mean, I'm giving you very light touch description here, Liz, but I'm just trying to describe really there's this build up and then there's this breakdown. And it's that process of being worked by that month after month that sort of keep tenderizes us, I think, but and it's also deepening us into ourselves month after month. So we're discovering ourselves more and more of our own nature, more of our needs, more of our boundaries, what's important to us, what's not important to us. This is all growing stronger and stronger. And the more we know ourselves, the more we can learn to accept and love ourselves. And that's so important to be able to enter into this place of exposure, which happens just before menstruation, where and then at menstruation there's this kind of spiritual awakening process. Oh my goodness, there's so much to talk here, and I'm not going to say any more than that, Liz, but just to say that sort of apparent breakdown of the second half of the cycle is really tenderizing us to be able to go into that place of undefendedness with more and more daring and bravery. And as we do that, oh, then we hit the sweet spot of what of the spiritual forces that can awaken.
Yes, there's so much there, and I'm wanting to weave in this thing that was popping up too as you were talking, which is this in studying this concept of the sacred feminine. And I like my books. I like I'm kind of a history geek. I get into that, and there's this concept of eminence associated with the sacred feminine. Eminence, you know, as opposed to transcendence, like God is way up here above us, you know, like eminence is divine feminine, is goddess is present in all living things, in everything, in every blade of grass, in everything, including us and our bodies. And so what you're talking about to me is a lived spiritual experience. And I was thinking about how some of the things that I've read have talked about, you know, at least we think in theory that perhaps our long ago ancestors wouldn't have needed to personify a god or a goddess. They wouldn't have needed perhaps to even have the language of like the sacred or the spiritual, because it was all sacred. And that knowing in the body, you know, when life is organized around it, I don't know. There are ways in which I learn things, I read things in books, and then they just land a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper in my body. I keep coming back to them and I'm like, oh, I get it now. And so what you're saying to me, I hope I'm connecting the dots here, but what I'm hearing you saying is like, this cyclical awareness is the spiritual practice itself. And that I suspect that our ancestors at some point knew this quite intimately, in ways like they'd have no need for all these books that are crowding my shelves because they just feel it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautifully put. Beautifully. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got it.
Yeah. The other thing that's coming up, and I bet you hear this all the time in Red School, and I've noticed this myself, and actually your book, Wise Power, is kind of drawing my attention to it too, of a story that I have, which is a little bit of a woe is me story, which I'm not, you know, I think it's realistic, but that it's like, I keep wanting to protest that cyclical awareness is really hard in today's culture because nobody wants to meet me in that space. And I want to whine and complain about it. And I want to hear what you, I want to hear what you have to say about that. Cause I have to imagine you hear that a lot. I mean, I hear what you're saying and, I would love, I want to rest more. I want to rest more around that time. And it's hard, as I'm sure you know this. So talk to me about this.
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny because as you were describing the, you know, in ancient cultures, how this knowing was just implicit, I was going to say, and it's interesting because the moment we start paying attention to our menstrual cycle, it's not actually such a big leap from the disconnection we have been feeling into connection. It's amazing how immediately available it is. The moment we start paying attention to our cycles, it's right there. And this knowing is so alive in us, except that we've been shut out of it and except that our culture doesn't support us in the cyclicity. That's what's so bloody hard. Yeah. So thank you. Yes. I mean, you know, it's like, I have these complaints with you. It's so really annoying. Yeah. Like the world isn't caught up with the power of cyclicity. And if only the world knew that actually cyclicity is sustainability. It is creativity. It is power. It is, you know, it is abundance. It is all the things it is connection. It's all the things we're all truly wanting.
It's more efficient.
Yes. So anyway, the world's catching up with us and it will get there because we are very much of the thinking and the knowing that through each of us holding to our cycle as best we can within the circumstances of our lives, it's actually creating a different kind of energetic on the planet, I want to say. It's a subtle way of raging a revolution, really. It's when I say subtle, I don't mean less powerful. I mean, not obvious to the naked eye, no one's seeing it coming, but it really does make a difference because I've seen it, for example, in my family and in other people's communities, that when someone is tracking their cycle, even if they aren't able to fully honor their needs and tendencies, just the little bit they do, just the awareness they have, just the care they're taking with themselves starts to organize those around them and kind of brings people into sync with them. So, you know, my family are living my menstrual cycle, whether they like it or not, because I set the tone, you know, I set the rhythm in my family. So I just wanted to bring in that piece. And Alexandra, you are so practical about this stuff as well. Perhaps you can come in with just some of our little miracle fixes for this.
Well, it's sort of, yeah, I mean, I'm having lots of thoughts around this because, oh gosh, yes. I mean, the first thought I had when you brought it up, around the sort of impossibility of it was, how does any new idea, take shape in the world? But one person sticks their hand up and goes, I think,
Yes.
what about? And then after that, it's a numbers game. I just call it a numbers game. Soon there were two of us going, actually, and then there were three and four. And actually, because, I have been with this work for, 40 odd years now, and I've got colleagues, particularly in Australia, who have been, chipping away at this as well. And, it was really the dark ages then, really, really the dark ages. I mean, it was excruciating trying to talk about it, but we just plodded away. And actually, there was an openness in Australia. Top marks to Australia. It wouldn't have happened in the UK if I'd been there. So I landed in the right soil to start. You're seeding something. It's like a meme you plant. And now it was about, probably it's about 5 years ago, isn't it, Shani, or 6 years ago? Because I never let it go. The thing is, you've got to take the long view. And I just held to it because it was a non-negotiable for me. One, because it was so radical in my own life, but I kept thinking, this is bonkers. Menstruation, all these people that menstruate could be having these mind-blowing experiences every month. They could be feeling so loved up. I mean, this is a drug, I mean, we're all trying to get high, and we've got this natural high trying to happen every month. It's so crazy making to me that we can't access this. So I was driven by that in my sheer pigheadedness, because if someone says, oh no, you can't do it. No, watch this. It's a red rag to a bull for me. So hanging in there, and then about 5, 6 years ago, something flipped. It's a tipping point. You get to a tipping point of enough people, and then suddenly menstruation is everywhere. It can't keep out of the press these days. I mean, menopause has gone bonkers, certainly in the
Oh.
UK. Yeah, I mean, it's the topic du jour now. In Parliament, in office place, they're all talking about pol I mean, it's radical. It's almost overtaken menstruation, actually. So it goes back to the numbers game for me. And each person who goes, oh, maybe I will just try secretly charting my cycle. You don't have to tell anybody. You see, this is the Shani said, this subtle revolution. You just start doing it just quietly within yourself. Inevitably, you're going to tell your best mate, and your best mate might be interested, or they might go yuck. But the moment you talk about it, you've disturbed the field, and something happens because your friend can't unthink it. Or you bring it up in the workplace. You just say menstruation in the workplace, and something weird happens, but the word has been let loose. And then at work, you might just go in and I say, oh, I'm menstruating today. I just want to be chilled and slow. And people are going, oh, this is too much information. But then there'll be one other person who's curious, and then a conversation happens. And again, the other people can't unhear what they heard. And something starts to shift. And we've heard about this. We've heard so many. I mean, I can't pull them out of the hat now, but honestly, we get so many great stories about how it's organized people's lives and infiltrating the workplace and the kinds of things that people are doing. And people are looking at workplace policies for menstruation now. So it's these tiny, what we call 1% moves.
Yeah, and I really want to speak to your question, which I was hearing as a personal one, Liz, which if I understood you were asking, how can you live cyclically in a sort of culture that doesn't honor it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying not to make it about me, but who are we
Well,
kidding? Of
no,
course,
Liz,
it's a question for me.
because
Real,
that's the
real.
question everyone has, actually, which is a really important one. And the answer might sound slightly unsatisfying, but trust us, this works. Rather than trying to go the whole hog with cycle awareness, in other words, 100% getting your needs met in each season of the cycle, and our needs are different. So, taking the example of menstruation or inner winter, there is a deep need for rest and solace and sanctuary and soothing and time out of stimulation. That's a very real kind of demand from our bodies. And in an ideal world, we want to kind of just drop whatever we're doing and have the world run to our side and say, you know, how can I serve you? As we kind of skip off into our this red tent or whatever the case might be, or our bedrooms even would be fine and have our meals provided and so on. So that is the ideal. And that really is not possible for most of us most of the time. So what we recommend at Red School is finding the 1% of what it is you are needing at that time and giving yourself that. And it's such a powerful, it's a small but powerful move, because when you take that microdose of time out or rest, let's say you've got a full schedule, you're working all day, but you're bleeding. If you just create a little pocket of time where you get to step out, close the door, switch off, really drop, what's happening is you're feeling honored and you are honoring your cycle. You're really giving that to yourself. And that goes such a long way in terms of what it generates for your well-being and creativity and spiritual life. And it's a kind of gradual process of reclamation. You know, month after month, you do 1% more, you take 1% more, because we also find it hard to take. We also find it hard to receive. So these little micro moves of like, sorry, I can't take that on right now. Or, you know, if you've got children, sorry, you've got to make your own dinner tonight or what have you. Those micro moves of creating boundaries and giving to yourself build a sort of worthiness, I want to say, and a right and a capacity to advocate for yourself. It's like you're building this muscle, and you do that month after month after month, and the 1% becomes 2%, becomes 5%. And before you know it, you know, you've arranged childcare, and you've got a friend dropping off dinner, and somebody else is picking up the kids, and you've had a conversation with your boss about taking half a day when you're bleeding and making it up at another point in your cycle. You know, these are the kinds of things that happen when we take these 1%. So that's really what I would offer to you is, you know, what's your next 1% and how can you claim that for yourself? Because it starts to create this rhythm in your being that then deepens over time.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and I love that you also named that it would be, I mean, even as you were talking, I'm like, oh, who are we kidding? Even if my partner's like, I got everything covered for the next couple of days, I'll drive the kids to and from school, I got it all done, I wouldn't let him do that, not right out of the gate. There's no way I would be able to just sit. I mean, I was thinking back to when I had COVID earlier this year, and I kept trying to get myself out of bed and do stuff, because I'm like, well, I don't feel that bad. Like, I need to, you know, I can clean the house. Just ridiculous, you know? And I was legitimately sick then. So I think the advice of stepping into it, it makes sense on a lot of different levels. And
totally.
And one of the things that I wrote down as you were talking, as I was thinking back to the messages that I got growing up as a girl, which was, it's not just making the space for yourself. It's almost like a rewiring of the brain about what's happening, right? Because my mind was going to all the tampon commercials of girls in white shorts and jeans, and nobody knows that I'm bleeding. And that was the whole point, was that nobody was supposed to know that this was even happening to you. Like, you aren't fazed by this. This is almost like a form of feminism in a way, right? Like, you're not going to be held back by this thing. You can go conquer the world while you're bleeding. And so it seems like it's almost rewiring in many, many different ways.
Yeah, you're so right. You're really having to shift what you've taken on board as a young person, and what this cultural story that you've taken on. And there's that layer, Liz, but then there's another layer, which is very much part of the spiritual practice, which is you're actually building this muscle of worthiness to be able to receive the power and possibility that's available to your administration. And There's a lot of reclamation that needs to happen in that process, you know. Reclamation to feel worthy, but it's also about recovering our sense of safety. That's really important because we need to be able to let go and be held in something. You know, I hear your COVID story and it's like, yeah, it's hard just to let others look after us, let others hold us. And here with menstruation, we're talking about really letting life hold us, really giving ourselves over to something greater, which requires a huge amount of trust. And that's not something our ego is going to let us jump into feet first. We need to really build that trust, build that safety, build that feeling of worthiness. So the incremental really does that for us. Just the and the whole the tracking of the whole cycle really does that for us. It's the pacing of each and every day and how our energy is changing that builds, you know, we talk about it building the vessel to be able to receive the inoculation of love that happens at menstruation. So yeah, it's big and it's deep work and it's also incremental work. It has to be that way. Yeah.
How do you think about pain? So many people have associate this experience with pain.
Yeah.
How do you relate to that and understand that as part of this process?
Well, there's a number of sort of levels to it. And of course, pain was the great doorway. The pain kicked down the doorway to all that we teach, you know, the pain I had. But it's sort of foundational level. The menstrual cycle is the stress sensitive system in us. And it's also now being called the fifth vital sign. So it's an indicator of our overall health, you know, blood pressure, whatever all the vital signs are. I can't breath.
Only one we care about is the menstrual cycle.
Yeah, the fifth one.
The fifth and most important.
Whatever those other vital signs are. So it's a feedback system on our overall health and well-being. Our hormones are just communicating to us on all sorts of levels, you know, stress, levels of pollution, and then the quality of our diet and so on, that level. And the thing I want to really name here is that we are stressed on an ongoing, subtle and maybe not so subtle way by the fact that we are not able to honor our cycle. So there's a stress that builds up in our system that we're expected to be on all the time or out there smiling and, you know, taking care of others and so on.
And overriding ourselves, yeah.
And constantly overriding ourselves. So just not being, you know, the fact that we are taught to ignore the cycle and keep going is affecting our health. And so that's really important to name that as a kind of foundational thing. And then there's all the other stresses and pressures that I've just named as well that are impacting us. So where there's pain or any other cycle, you know, challenge going on, you know, PMDD or PMS and irregular cycles, it's all telling us something about how we're doing overall physically, but it also turns out it's telling us something about what's happening to us psychologically too, you know, how we're caring for our own needs and so on. It's just, it's a feedback system on all sorts of levels. So for someone who's listening to this right now, it's really important to recognize that that their suffering is in part to do with the state of the world, in a sense. You know, I mean, patriarchy, for want of a better word, it's a bit of a blunt word, but, you know, just the way that we, this linear culture we live in, power over, but also the levels of stress today and that we're all under, and but also the levels of pollution and all that. And yes, I may have personal challenges within my, within my body, and I did, I had some health problems, which is, my pain led me to address health issues that were going on in my body. But I am also reflecting the condition of the times as well. So I don't, when people are suffering, I want them to not take it all personally. So if there's something wrong with me, it's really, there's nothing wrong with you actually at all anyway. But it's your body giving you information. And so, and it's challenging this, because not only you're suffering, but the menstrual cycle isn't valued. And of course, for so long, when we went to doctors, they, with regard to pain, and they couldn't find a reason for it, they would say you were making it up. And it, things like endometriosis are only now being actually taken seriously.
They still do that, by the
They
way.
still do that. It's just insane. You are crippled by pain every month, and you're told it's all in, it's iatrogenic or what this is, all in the mind, or the, I mean, that is so profoundly distressing. So I, of course, had this outrageous pain that erupted just before my 31st birthday, and I hadn't had pain in my 20s. And it was so interesting. I didn't even see this thought just came into my head that went, my body is talking to me and I'm going to listen. And that organized me, that thought. So, I mean, I went to doctors and so on. And of course, I wouldn't have surgery and I just wasn't going to take drugs. So I had to go. Then I pursued all sorts of natural therapies. And yeah, that's a, another story. But I gave space because it was for 3 or 4 days. I mean, it was bonkers. And the pain was insane. It was insane, the pain. And of course, I did take painkillers at times, but that was not a long-term solution. And I used to just take space at menstruation as much as I could within the context of my working life. But it affected my working life. Yeah, I didn't, you know. And, then the rest is history. It all unfolded from there.
There's something you are leading to here, which I think is really important to name, Alexandra, that the challenges that show up in our menstrual cycle are not obstacles to overcome. They are signposts towards ourselves and deeper interconnection with ourselves. And when Alexandra talks about how this pain led to all the work that we teach at Red School, that's another way of saying by you really listening to that pain and giving space to menstruation, you were able to really access something that previously was not accessible for you. Yeah, in other words, the pain was a gateway into a huge source of creative power. And
Yeah, it unleashed something.
it unleashed something which was your calling, really, what you're here to do in the world. It unleashed your calling because that was when you started really pioneering this work, was in your 30s with that pain. So that signpost wasn't just pointing you to your body, it was pointing you to your calling, your purpose in this lifetime. And I've got goosebumps as I'm saying that because it's so easy to diminish our symptoms and pathologize ourselves and kind of I don't know, make ourselves wrong, rather than really recognizing that this is that it's pointing to some enormous power that we have. We could say this about all the symptoms in the cycle. It's pointing us to power.
Yes. I was also thinking too, and I want to use this word lightly because I am not a therapist and I think it's maybe getting overused, the word trauma. But if there, and I was reading in your book, Wise Power, about there's a ritual that you recommend if your first bleed was not, that experience wasn't held and supported the way that you wanted it to be, that you can ritualize that experience and recreate it for yourself, which is just so beautiful. But I was thinking about it, for so many of us who maybe didn't have a positive experience, there was some kind of shame or inconvenience or whatever story that got baked around that. I was thinking about the idea of pain also bringing attention to that, so that it can be brought up for
Precisely.
healing, so that then, you can open to this power that you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly that. Exactly that. I like what you
Yeah.
said. Yeah.
We're going to run out of time. I knew this was going to happen. I have so many things I want to ask you about, but I think what I want to, okay, this is my, I think this is my last question for you. And I don't have, you have the, I'm going to put your website in the show notes, but you've got this beautiful vision of what bringing awareness to the menstrual cycle can do at a larger scale. And I think we've been speaking to that at least a little bit, but I wonder if you could just expand upon this a little bit more, because to me, that is where the work that I do with the Sacred Feminine gets really, really interesting. Yes, to personal transformation. But what does that mean for the way in which we are living and the way the world looks like? So I wonder if you could just speak to that beautiful vision that you're holding around that.
That's why we do this work, because we want to bring something, a new kind of orientation. How we're living is unsustainable. It's completely unsustainable. When Shani spoke earlier about cycle awareness is teaching us about, a sustainable way of living. And so we are very bold in our thinking here that, more and more people who pick up cycle awareness. Shani spoke earlier about how we subtly start to organize the field around us. So we're sort of bringing cyclical consciousness by the back door. We're sneaking it in and just quietly turning on people to this idea that, living cyclically is just the same way to live. And because our whole approach to life is, power over control. It's not relational. And we
And most of the problems that exist in the world today are because that's the consciousness we're inhabiting, is a linear power over consciousness.
Yeah. And there's no rest anywhere. There's no respect for downtime, for the earth, for anything, and I think of the sort of mental health challenges that are exploding, at least certainly I can speak for the UK, it's probably everywhere. And I just feel cyclical living is so fundamental to starting to restore some kind of sanity and ease. And bringing back a kindness to the world. Yes, Shani, do you want to pick up? I can hear
Yeah,
you.
just to add on to what you're saying is this work of cycle awareness is really about changing the axis of power, or changing the power dynamic in the world and the way we view power, and the kinds of power that we draw on to do whatever it is we do. And it's about changing consciousness from, as we've described, this kind of power over linear patriarchal consciousness into a cyclical consciousness. And the effects of that are so far reaching. In our imaginations, we like to think that this, is it's the medicine for our times. It's the medicine for our times. And those with the menstrual cycle, in a way, have a way to serve these times that's really meaningful just through their own personal practice and attention. Each person, this is what, you know what, Liz, this is what really excites me, because often when I think about world change, I feel like it's something massive that's outside of me, that's impossible. Whereas each one of us has the power to begin to shift the axis of the world through our attention to our own cycle. Like little old me, my MCA practice, I'm expanding into a new consciousness, and that is affecting the world around me. And I find that so exciting and empowering, you know. We can all do that with, while we keep our day jobs, you know. It's not like we've got to give up our day jobs or our families or go and hide on a hill somewhere. Just as we're living, we're learning to really weave this into our everyday life, into our householder life, and that's a beautiful way to create a revolution, I think.
Well, and yes, and it's like this could be very meta because you're talking about, I mean, patriarchal systems are the ones that tell us that change has to come from the top down and
Yeah,
that
exactly.
someone outside of ourselves has the answer. Or if this group of politicians just bands together and pays attention to me, then they'll make laws that are going to change stuff, that are going to make my life better. And so,
Yeah.
yeah, there's a whole, I don't know, I'm just seeing like a spiraling, you know, just
Totally. It's
this.
a whole thing, right? It's power to
Yes.
the
Yes, totally. Oh
Yeah.
my gosh, this has been such a joy. I want to keep you here with me for hours, and I'm not going to do that. That would be rude, and you have things to do. And we didn't even get to talk about menopause, and your writing is just so, there's just a lot of deep, profound things you're sharing there. So I hope that perhaps maybe you'll think about coming back and we can dive into that topic as well, because there's so much to explore. But I want to thank you both, Alexandra and Shawnee, for being here with me. This has been such a blessed conversation. My heart feels very full.
Thank you so much, Liz. It's been a real pleasure, truly.
I really want to second what Shania said, and it has felt really special. I felt really felt inside something with you. Thank you
Me
so
too.
much. Thank you.
Yes. I hope you listeners felt that as well. I really do. And as always, I'm so glad that you all are listening. And I probably said this too much now at the end of this episode, these episodes that I would have these conversations with or without you because they fill my cup. But the fact that you're here listening makes it easier to get people to talk to me. And you know, no, it's nice to share these conversations with you. So thanks for being along for the ride. And if you like the show, as always, you can give it a favorable review. You can share it with your friend. You can subscribe. You can do all those things. And until next time, take very good care of yourself. And I will talk to you again soon. Home to Her is hosted by me, Liz Kelly. You can visit me online at hometoher.com. where you can find show notes and other episodes. You can read articles about the Sacred Feminine, and you'll also find a link to join the Home to Her Facebook group for lots more discussion and exploration of her. You can also follow me on Instagram at Home to Her to keep up to date with the latest episodes. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here soon.